you two would, Pete would take 14 hours in a car or a day on a plane to get there, but, or you would be here in half an hour, I'd be there in a half an hour. And it's just, I don't know, it's just that that's that bond that we've built 20 plus years that you just always, you're always there.
Yeah.
And it's not, you never make that, or you never, ex, I don't know, it's not, at this point, it's just like second nature. It's just like, yep, going, gone, done. And it's just, it's never been like this. And or just like, you know, just using each other for anything, for individual means or like personal means. There's never been that in our friendship at all. And I think that's like the most important thing. It's just always been, I don't know, it's just always been great.
That was Derek Stith, one of my best friends, summarizing a friendship for over 20 years. My other best friend, Pete Bucer, he will be joining us too to discuss the traits that make a great friendship, how to stay connected even during COVID, and our favorite friendship memories. Welcome to a very special episode 10, The Reservoir Dogs That Don't Die on the Running Educator Podcast. How long has it been since we've last chatted crickets?
Well, if that's the first question, that means I get to answer it. So I think it was back in June or July.
Okay. I
think.
I would agree with that. That's when we got the Snapchat of you dressed up like a unicorn.
Nice.
That's right.
Yeah. So what are the three most important things that make our friendship what it is today?
Is that me now, or is that Derek now?
That would be you, so...
Well, I answered the first question, which was when we last all spoke together. So
the difficulties, I love it. I love it. So Derek, what do you think are the three most important things that make our friendship what it is today?
I would just say, I don't know, that trust is huge. I can always trust you guys to be there for anything that I ever need or anything we ever need to talk about.
I think the vulnerability, I threw that in there. For me, much like trust, what Derek was saying, but, you know, the blackmail that comes into mind. You know, I honestly don't care whatever has happened in my life. I've always been able to just, whether it's good or bad, been able to share that with you guys. And I've never felt any judgment through that vulnerability. So, you know, and we've done things that are just like, we should never speak or talk about ever again. But, you know, we've seen each other at our best. We've seen each other at our worst. We've cried. We've laughed. We've had failures. You know, we've all admitted our messes, and we still connect to this day.
Yeah, there's no walls. There's no, we've known for each other so long, and we've know like so much about each other. There's no posturing. There's no anything. It's just, we are who we are, and that's why we're still friends.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys danced around what I was going to say as an answer anyways, which is communication. So yeah, the trust, vulnerability, all of that ties into that we're also great friends because we have that communication as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the cool thing I like about us is that we can really just pick up whenever. I mean, I have no problem, you know, and I have some friends who are like, oh, where have you been doing? What have you been up to? Whatever. And it's like, I'm just doing my thing, right? But I just feel whenever we hang up, it's never like a goodbye. It's always like, I can't wait till next time. We just pick up the wherever we left off, and if not, added more into that story where we did left off. So I've always appreciated that, and I just, it's never been a contest or a competition as much of our lives have been. But you know, we just, we're there, our biggest cheerleaders, and we help each other through. Next question. And I'll let Derek, well, we'll go back to Pete. Pete can answer this one because now we're back on system here, right? The traits we most admire about one another. So don't shy away from this one because traits are interesting to talk about.
Originally, I was going to steal your traits, Mike. I thought those would be good. But let's see. So, Mike, what I love about you, one of my favorite traits is your loyalty. And that's not just to us as friends, but to your family that I see all the time and know about as well, and how you're always willing to help, to be there for anybody. So definitely loyalty. Derek, I could say the same thing as well, but just to mix it up a little bit, it also is, I would say your adventurous spirit. You're always willing and up to do and try anything. I mean, I know all three of us have had all sorts of adventures.
So I would say I'd go with Michael, and it's always your sense of optimism, and you see the good in everybody. The reason why everybody comes and talks to you still is you reach out, you bring people, you're just like that brings people to you, and you just always try to keep those connections going and everything. And you always, you find the good in everybody, and it's pretty cool. And Pete has no redeeming qualities whatsoever. No.
Well, it's true. No, it's true. It's on audio, so we gotta have it.
No, Pete's would be his individualism. Like, he was the first one to just like pack up and go out on his own, and he's completely fine with that, and he doesn't have any fears or anything like that. He's the first one to go away for school. He was the first one to like just pack up and I'm going to Denver. I'm out of here, and just like that. I don't know, your individualism and your just like fearlessness is pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I thank you both for, you know, those kind words, and it's good to hear that from you guys. I haven't heard it in forever, but you know, I'll start with Derek. I was always admiring your drive and what you've always done, and you just put your head down, no bullshit, no nothing. You just get it done. And it doesn't have to necessarily be perfect. It's just done the right way. And that's what I've always admired about you. And I think that's one thing that I've learned from your family as well. You know, you guys are pretty driven. You don't need a lot to tell you, to challenge you in any way, shape, or form. You're going to find a way to get it done. And your commitment along with that intensity has been not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And you're a straight shooter. You don't bullshit anybody. At the end of it, like, how do you make it work efficiently and the best way possible? So I've definitely always admired that. And I would capture on Pete as well, much like what Derek was saying, as his adventurous spirit, but he's joy, man. He has simple pleasures. Ketchup on, you know, McDonald's hamburgers, all he needs, man. And that's just set the precedent right there. I was like, yeah, I can hang out with this kid. It's cool stuff. But yes, his enthusiasm for life, to live it to the fullest, always seeking. You're always fucking happy about everything, man. And it's just like, can you have a shitty day? And I've never seen you have a shitty day. And so right. We had our shitty days, but you know, it's refreshing. And that's the thing I love about the both of you guys, is how you bring those traits into my life and remind me, you know, get committed. Take a chance. And so those are the reflections I love in our relationship that we have. But moving on, like, when you meet new people nowadays, and I know it's so strange to even think about this because of COVID and how, you know, nuts it all is, but post or pre-COVID, what things did you see outside of people? And you can totally say no if that's, you know, not make sense, but basically, when you meet new people, what intrigued you to find out a friendship in those people?
I don't know. It seems kind of weird now. It's just you find, I think it's kind of like-minded people, or not necessarily even like-minded. I think that's too simple. Like challenging, or somebody that like kind of looks at the world, or even like that works at the world completely opposite way that you do, is kind of interesting sometimes, but like sees it in the same way, but their opinion is exactly the opposite, or, and then just like same interests, like things, I don't know. It sounds stupid, but like what people like and what people enjoy are important. And then just doing that stuff that you love together is what, I don't know, kind of draws you in with the people.
Yeah. I would say, very similarly at this point in life, that when I make friends now, it's the first thing that's going to be looked at is what sort of similarities we share, what interests. Basically, I've become friends with a couple bartenders at my favorite brewery, for example, not because I'm just drinking there, but one of them loves D&D, and so we would talk about that, which is a big thing that I play all the time. Another one is into music and vinyl records and cooking, and so commonality, I think, any sort of friendship is going to have. And once you get to a certain age, that's probably the first thing you're even going to consider. But then you look at the deeper aspects of, I mean, I know people that like comic books are complete assholes, so it doesn't mean I'm going to be friends with them, but right. You're still going to pick out, you're going to still want to talk to people that not only have the same interests, but have the basis of the sort of things that we've talked about on how we view each other in friendship. I mean, you have people that are honest and open, or so forth, empathic. Those are the sort of people that you want to be drawn to. Same with people like Derek just said, that can be different than you and still challenge as well. And I think those are the things, the initial commonality.
I think it's a lot harder actually to make friends now than it was when we were children, because you've got all these preconceived notions of people, and me more than you two for sure. I'm fairly cynical people and stuff, and being able to open yourself up or anything. It's not like when you were kids, when you just like who you think you are probably just as much as who you think anybody else is at this point and everything. And it's kind of crazy. It makes it harder to just walk up to anybody and like when you're a kid and is like, hey, I like your bike, or hey, let's play basketball or something like that. And that's all it took. And yeah, boom, and it was started. It just, stuff doesn't work like that.
Well, and that's the crazy thing. Like, you know, thinking back to our stories and how we met, that's, you know, circling back around with this question. Like, you know, when I met Pete, basically, you know, my parents got divorced. My world was in shambles. And, you know, the safe haven was, you know, the White House and Kootenai and where a kid lived. And I didn't know who the hell he was. And I was like, all right. So I go up, knock on the door, and Jane opens the door and is like, who are you? And I was like, hey, I heard you have a kid here. And she's like, yeah. And I just pushed her out of the way and went upstairs, and that was that. So, you know, and those are, and that's the simplicity that we have as kids. And then Derek and I mean, I remember running against you and you know, at, whatchamacallit, Hillcrest, you're at Hillcrest Elementary way back in the day. And I was like, oh, he's a snotty kid. He's a rich kid. He doesn't want to hang out with a poor ghetto kid like me. I'm from South Central Boise, you know, but, you know, it was like, hey, dude, you know, and we just connected. And then we went from there, and, you know, South Junior High and all through junior high, we just kept connecting and growing and challenging each other. And that's the beauty of these friendships that you make, that, you know, we've all had our moments where I wanted to punch you in the face, but in the same sense, I love you guys like brothers. So I want you to finish this next sentence, all right? So I'm going to give you a brief second to think about it, but I have a hard time in friendships when
people lie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Can you elaborate?
That's just a big thing for me. I don't have a whole lot of really close friends. I don't know why. I can really say count close friends. It's like five or six people. That's really it. And I've kind of, I don't know, I just have issues with like honesty and all that kind of stuff. And I've cut a lot of people and just don't have any interest in seeing a whole lot of people or anything through time. And it's just whittled down, and it's those core people that you know you can count on. And that's who you go back to.
Yeah, that's definitely the quality, you know, over quantity kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So, I think you're right. It is hard. It's funny that you even say that, because, you know, I deleted my Facebook account and I had like 2,500 people. And I was like, who are these people and why do I need these people in my life? And so I deleted it, got off Facebook for a year and got back on it. And now I have like maybe 250 people. And even that's still too many, but most of those are family. And so, but Pete, what do you think?
You have 250 family members?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, overall, I would say that I'm also at the point where I'm going to have a smaller group of friends that are closer friends. You two, and then my Arkansas boys out here, and my buddy Tino. It's like the people that are close and experience things with you, that's what I appreciate, the ones that you have good times and bad times with. And so I don't remember the original question actually at this point, but that's where I was going off of from your guys, is the way you're answering it. So
I'm glad you brought in the Led Zeppelin reference, but, you know, having a hard time with friendships. But can you remember a pivotal time in our friendship that was difficult, that we, I know with Derek, I have one particularly, I'm going to tell him about it, but Pete, I'm not too much. Like I said, you're such a lovable, joyful person, but do you have a memory that you can think of that was most difficult?
Nothing like that I could really think of. I would say, Mike, you need to come out to Denver more often.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that. I'm not the committal. I hate airplanes, especially flying into Denver, but I will commit to that. As long as Radiohead is playing, I will be there. I will show up. But Derek, what you got?
I don't know. I can't think of anything where we've ever had like
no spats.
A super big blowout where I've ever been super upset with either of you guys.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why it's kind of hard.
It might have been something like the only thing you can go back to, it might have been something dumb like in junior high or like high school, like you liked a girl that I liked too, and we did that and did something stupid, or like that, when it really comes down to it, it meant nothing, and that right. like the whole basis of our friendship, and it's just stupid kid stuff. I think since we've been adults, I don't know if I've had a single issue. It's nothing but like good times and just like being there when you need each other and stuff.
Right. Well, my only spat I ever had that I wanted to punch you in the face when we were playing co-ed soccer, and you said something to me and I wanted to punch you in the throat and I told you to go away and you were like, no. And you're like, dude, I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't care. Get away from me. I'm going to punch you in the throat. Get away. And I was like trying to get off. It was like halftime and you pissed me off and you said something and damn Perea. Anywho, but
yeah. I know that is the major fault. I am overly competitive and no. I can turn it on and turn it off though. Like I get like, especially with sports, I get like super. And then as soon as the game's over, it doesn't matter anymore. But in the heat of the moment, I just like, I have been told that before.
Not a bad thing. If that's the only flare up over, you know, 20 plus years, I'm all right with that. So kind of bouncing around back into friendships. What's a friendship turnoff for you guys?
I don't know. It's just like exactly the same thing. General douchebaggery.
Yeah.
It's like Agreed. A big problem. Yeah. That's just like people that, I don't know, want to talk about like everything that anybody says, they have to come over the top. Like every time we're like, well, or like one up you in some way, that person drives me insane. That just, I don't know, that always has to just like puff out their chest and do everything they can to be the most important person in the room. And
well, yeah, that ties in actually what I was going to say, which is, yeah, the people that don't listen to others. I mean, that's a big thing. And that's usually going to result in what Derek's describing as well. So if I'm in places where I'm conversing with people like that, usually I'm not going to even do much more time. So I wouldn't even say friendship. That's just going to be like, yeah, I don't need to talk to that person much any longer. Also, if this want to vote for Trump. So
can you sense that right away in somebody, like, yeah, this guy's a douchebag. Nope, I'm done.
Yep.
Or this chick's a douchebag. No thanks.
I think you can, I don't know. That's at this point in life, you get a pretty good feel for people within the first, I don't know, half hour of meeting anybody that you're like, yeah, not a fan of that guy. Or I don't think I need to hang out with you anymore.
Going to how both of you guys are super, super busy. I never, you know, it's like planning stuff with you guys is almost nearly impossible. You know, Pete, you live in Denver, and Derek, you live in Idaho and I hardly see you. But what do you think is the method or the madness or even the ways that we have kept connected together, living in different parts of the town, different states, and you know, what's our secret of staying close? If we could give anybody a tip or trick or trade or, oh yeah, I have that same, you know.
I don't know if there's really a trick or not, because yeah, obviously we've got modern technology for calls, Zooms, faxes, but it goes back to the deeper thing we've been talking about this whole time, which is we all have that connection. So even when we don't talk to each other for a while, we can pick back up pretty easily about all sorts of stuff, because we know each other's families and we know each other's what we always are kind of doing at least. And it gives us an opportunity just to catch up.
Yeah, I agree. It is amazing to hear your guys' voice, see you guys, whatever. But Derek, what do you think as far as staying close?
As why the longevity?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think our friendship between all three of us, it's always been that every one of us always gives more than we take. And you can always count on that each other to, I don't know, just to always be there. And it's just, if any of us ever call, it's like, or even if you don't answer the phone, if you get a message and it's, hey, this happened, I need you right now. I know that you two and Pete would take 14 hours in a car or a day on a plane to get there, but, or you would be here in half an hour. I'd be there in a half an hour. And it's just, I don't know. It's just that's that bond that we've built 20 plus years that you just always, you're always there.
Yeah.
And it's not, you never make that, or you never, I don't know. It's not, at this point, it's just like second nature. It's just like, yep, going, gone, done.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's never been like, or just like, you know, just using each other for anything, for individual means or like personal means. That's, there's never been that in our friendship at all. And I think that's like the most important thing. It's just always been great.
Well, I'm gonna have a confession, because I was using Pete for his pool, right? Because he had that fucking pool over in Kootenay, which was awesome. And Derek, I was using you for your goddamn movie theater that you had downstairs in your bed, basement. So
I thought it was the liquor cabinet.
That was the bonus. That was the byproduct. You know, that we're best friends exclusively. It's more based on years and experiences and stories and love and friendships and failures and support. And we've just always been there. And again, I believe that is the highest honor of friendship, the best of the best. And it goes through all this levels of shit that we went through, and we're still around today. And many, many games of FIFA that I have beat Derek numerous times at, and I'm claiming that throne, but and even to throw a cake reference in there was pretty great. I appreciate that. You're never there, so anywho. But but yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, what we do for one another is selflessness, and we just is no second hand, no second thought. But I was gonna challenge you, like, is there a time where you're like, yeah, I'll call him back, or, you know, dismissed a text or whatever, to where like, and it's totally fine on how things go, but I know that if I don't get a phone call or whatever, I do get worried. I do want to voice my concern on that. Like, and it has been difficult with everything going on with COVID and whatnot. So has those thoughts ever kind of come across your guys' mind?
About calls in particular, or what do you mean?
Well, just in general. I mean, you know, like I said, with COVID going on, not getting out a lot and not being able to be free, I guess, if you will, and be quarantined. I mean, it drives me mad. I got to drive to work and I love it, but I worry about you guys that sometimes, like, are they being safe? They practice social distancing? Are they getting out? They're doing their things that they need to do. But have you guys ever thought of that?
No, I was the first guy in line to go to the bars downtown when they opened up. I just got all up in everybody's business. Yeah.
No mask on?
None. No, I'm a close talker.
Yeah.
No, I go ahead, Pete.
Well, I was just going to say I need to go because I'm going to the Broncos game right now.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Priorities. Nice.
No, I would say that we're probably two of the safer people you might know as well, actually. I do meet up with some friends like at a brewery outside and stuff, but that's pretty much the majority of it. Yeah, definitely not movies and stuff like that. Get out and hike and walk.
Yeah, would you say that since the technology that you've talked about, you know, Zooms and FaceTimes and Googles and all those other ways of, you know, connecting with people, have you found yourself doing more of that with not only just friend, you know, family, but other friends around? Like, if you didn't go meet them with for a beer or whatever, having the happy hour online or whatever. So,
we've definitely done that. We've used, as you say, the Googles. good job with that one. We did that a lot with family and stuff, and we've done that. The three of us have done that a couple times where we get on, and because, you know, you can't get out, you can't see each other. It's, I don't know, it's good, but it's not the same. It's a fill-in, but it's not the same. It's crazy that people, you need physical interaction. It's like just being next to people and stuff, and we're being in a group. It's crazy how much different it feels now without that like group dynamic and stuff that you've been used to your entire life.
I would agree.
Yeah, like, most I might be with three friends now, definitely not meeting up with anybody else outside of that. Big groups and stuff now, it's not the same, obviously. So it's somewhat tough, but every so often get to see people. And luckily for me, like the Zoom thing, that's not an issue. My buddies and I have been playing Dungeons and Dragons on Zoom whenever we needed to, because we have friends all over the place. So going into this, that helped at least that we were already prepared.
Nice. And that's the thing. I mean, I'm honestly counting down the days when all this is done and over, and like I can fly out to Denver And, you know, I can also, you know, go slap Derek around and beat him at FIFA and go that route. So I think, unfortunately, this is the holding cell that we're all in, and we're all being caged up, and we need to find those fillers, like you said, to make this friendship continue on and see how things are going. But quick question off the topic, but have you guys ever judged one another ever? Be honest.
There was that time that you were wearing that swimming suit. Yeah, kind of.
With my legs shaved or no?
I would go the other way. I think absolutely. I can't give you a specific reference or point of reference, but absolutely, you judge, and it might not be harshly. You just might, like, as human beings, that's just kind of what you do. Just kind of like, what's he doing there? What's going on? Like, what's running through his head right now? How do we get from point A to point B there? And what was going on? And you kind of think, and it's like maybe more a little bit evaluating the decision-making process than actually judging somebody. But I think that's something that we do all the time. Just little stupid things, but absolutely everybody, even if it's that they're not meaning to, or they're not trying to be hurtful or trying to anything, but you definitely have, even when you, like, you know, just look at somebody walking down the street or something like that. And it's just, wow, that must be an, that was an interesting day that person must have had, or something like that, that you just, like, see, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing all the time, I'm sure. Yeah. Yep.
I would even spin it off, like, how we've influenced each other's judgments, like you were just saying, like, hey, let's go do this stupid stuff, or let's go jump off the dock or whatever, you know. And I think those are the crazy things that make that crazy stories of wild times of what we've had. And I mean, even just you missed Pearl Jam, Derek, for the 90th time in the world. And it was like spurred a moment, literally like 24 hours, like, hey, we're going. And it's like, we got to get stiff. We got to get going, you know, and we couldn't track you down. And it was just, those are the things I loved about our friendship as well, is how we were spurred a moment and we just did carefree things. And I would say, yeah, I judge the shit out of you guys all the time, but I still love you for it. But I also helped that, you know, we helped each other's judgment to challenge each other to be better people than who we are, you know, back in the day. So.
Yeah, it's because you, when you're friends, you expect more out of each other, right? And that's why, that's the same thing. That's why it's lasted so long, is because you've upheld that expectation for 20 years.
Now, speaking of Pearl Jam, Mike, did you guys watch the Pearl Jam stream of the show before the one that we all saw 2 years ago? They streamed the whole thing, the concert, through their site.
I did not. I missed it.
It might still be up. I don't know. It's free. But still, people say that our night was the better show anyways. So.
Oh, man. That was I definitely, when we started singing Tom Petty, I lost it. I completely lost it. So
it was a great night.
Yes, it was. Well, that brings me to one of my other questions, was like, what's the favorite friend memory, maybe top two, top three,
with all three of us together? Yeah, that was definitely that trip to Seattle. That would definitely be the most recent one. 4th of July, McCall, like after like freshman year of college, where we got stuck in traffic and the three of us were all jammed in the truck.
Yep,
I remember and that. We spent 4 hours driving. We had only made it to Horseshoe Bend, and we decided to then turn and go all the way through Emmett and around, like that. That whole weekend and that experience, that was miserable. That was like an 8-hour car drive with three of us in a Ford Ranger, like just jammed in there, and it was miserable. But that's like one of the greatest things ever. That ride was awesome.
Those were both quite excellent ones. I could say like individual ones. I can remember, Mike, when you were out here a while back, we did that hike up to Royal Arch, which was really sweet. Great hike. I love that one, especially with a good friend, to see that and just the amazing views and to get out in the outdoors like that. And then tied to that, Derek, when we were in Hawaii about, geez, I was like 9 years or 8 years ago, I think now, when nobody else wanted to go on the hike, but you went on that hike with me on the cliff side, basically, which that was a pretty awesome hike too. Like I said, yeah, nobody else wanted to do that. Derek, Mike, you were all about going on the hike too. So you knew what was fun and what was going to be a good thing to do.
I think one of my fondest memories that we had, Derek, when we went to your little cabin out on the Snake River and went some catfishing. And, you know, I've never been catfishing in my life. And I was expecting like this awesome cabin out on the middle of a lake, and there's this little shack, and it's infested with spiders. And I was like, ah, great, I'm gonna die some, you know, poisonous snake or whatever. But it was the best time ever because, you know, we're out there and we were just doing our thing, and it was just a very bonding moment just to hang out and do our thing. And then, you know, Pete, I've had numerous, you know, one of my favorite memories that I've always had, and it was at the house on Kootenai. I might get a little sentimental and teary-eyed here, but, you know, I always had that house of yours to protect me from all the chaos that was at my house. And I've always, and Derek, same, similar thing later in, you know, in the junior high school years for me, like, I always reached out to you two because you guys brought safety to my life. And whether my brother was doing God knows what drugs, my sister was completing in whatever sport it was, and my dad was just being a drunken dickhead, and my mom was never home, I always felt like I could go to either one of your houses at any given time. And, you know, Jane and Linda, they accepted me like the other mothers that I had. You know, Max, he was such a great, you know, I went hunting with that guy once, and like, you show up 5 minutes late, he's gonna let you know. And so, you know, it's just those two magical places just really hold a special place in my heart. So that would be the biggest thing that shines out in my mind. So I know, wipe away the tears. Anywho, but so if you had one thing to share with anybody in listening to this podcast, and again, I'm hoping that people can kind of get the idea that we're talking about friendship, we're talking about commitments, we're talking about, you know, helping each other out and what makes a good friend. And so what advice would you give to somebody, or even yourself, let's say, you know, your earlier years of you, what advice would you give to somebody about what makes a true good friendship?
I think a lot of this answer is probably going to tie into stuff we've been discussing this whole time. Again, the ability to listen and to be empathic is a huge piece, and to be honest with each other. I think those are all super important things, and those are the reasons that you're able to stay connected. But what we've already said as well, that you look for in friends, I mean, kind of ties the whole conversation together.
It's for people that have had friendship like that has lasted as long as it is, it's just like this bond that grows between like the three of you. It's just like the three of us, that is just, how do you do that? You're there for each other. You take those shared risks, those shared experiences. You're there for the highs. You're there even more for the lows, because that's the most important thing. Really, like, good times are great, but how somebody shows up when you're in a bad place way more important.
For sure.
And it's just, just put yourself out there and just be there. Yeah. I think that's the most important thing, right? To just be there.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I would wholeheartedly agree. And I mean, and it's not even just, I know that I don't have to put myself out there with you guys. You know, you guys know me, who I am, you know my faults. Yeah. And you guys capitalize on those all the time and make fun of me. So I don't mind being the butt of all jokes. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you're right. I can attest many more times where I've had you guys by my side when I was at my worst. And it was never like, I never felt isolated. I never felt judged. You know, like I said, I love you guys like brothers. And I do mean that. You know, you guys have always been there regardless, and that's the beauty of our friendship. So
we never cut each other and did blood brother things, all three of us, did we?
No.
No stand by me moment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we didn't have to go based off that. We were drinking buddies to the max. So that would be the end of the Running Educator podcast. So
I want to thank my best friends, Derek and Pete, for joining me today on a very special episode 10, The Reservoir Dogs That Don't Die, on the Running Educator podcast. I will have a link for today's episode in the description of this show, with all the resources located on my Tumblr blog. Thanks for listening to the Running Educator podcast. Do me a solid, make sure you subscribe and share this podcast. I appreciate all you do, and I hope you have a great day. Okay, so don't tell anybody, but here's some outtakes.
I think we're okay. You can use my voice, but I'm holding exclusively my image rights.
Okay, that works.
Mark,
Sounds good.
This outtake really shows the debauchery that we bring into our friendship and summarizes our everyday conversations that we have with one another.
Do you have audio?
Are you playing
Am I supposed to?
You're playing with your dinghy over there?
No, my laptop. I'm going to have to move downstairs.
Oh.
The laptop, the camera's at the bottom of the screen on the laptop instead of the top, so it's goofy.
That's very weird.
That sounds great. So we'll just be looking up your nostrils all day. So
we can get right in there for you. Here we go. Whoop,
whoop. Yeah, nice and bright. So,
and this final outtake is all about friendship, which I would call blackmail. Blackmail your friends all you can.
As we're gonna be.
Do you guys need to get a beer or anything, or are you guys good? I mean,
I probably could just like lick my arms and have enough. I don't need a drink.
Oh wow, a little hungover are we?
Fairly. I was up. I was at Lardo's in McCall till about 1:45 last night.
That a kid?
Yeah, we played in that golf.
Lardo.
I did say Lardo's.
Wow. Did you make the deal? That's all I want to know.
No, it was for a golf tournament. So we went to the we went to the lake clubhouse for like whitetail afterwards, and it closed, and we went with all the staff across the street to the bar and started drinking with the staff at the bar because they closed at 11. So we were there for like 2.5 hours. We had like shots and chugging contests and all kinds of stuff. It was